Oh, yeah. Falcon to asshole.
My pinky nail? What's wrong with that? Horrifying. You and Shocker looking at me like I'm a mental patient over here because I have a pinky nail going.
Let that thing go, man.
5-0 and
let that thing go.
You guys are looking at that like
you're going to trim that son of a gun, man.
Guinness Book of World Record. Oh, my.
So, Jay, if I just put this over here. Time,
smash.
Welcome into once again another Falcon cast. We've all got the fives up. You guys remember King Kong Bundy? Give me five. That's a five count. He didn't want to count to just three. We want five as the Falcons now sit at 5-0. John Michaels, Jay Adams, DJ Shockley. You know the cast. This is getting more and more fun week after week, guys. 5-0, and what a crazy Sunday afternoon against the Washington Redskins. A game you felt like you won, then maybe you felt like you lost, then you felt like you won again, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in overtime. Just an unbelievable game. Ugly for most of it. The only thing that matters is you're 5-0.
There were several moments in that game where I really had to make peace with the idea that we were going to lose it. Like I really had to like mentally be like, okay, well, like how do I approach this week, mm-hmm. and what do I do, and what do I say on Twitter, and all those things. And so when Devontae scored that touchdown, and then scored another touchdown after that one got called back, I mean, I was literally like shaking. I'm sure everybody noticed I was not here last week, so mm-hmm. I was sick, and so I'm like running on pure adrenaline at that point on the sideline, and I'm just like shaking because I was just so excited about how things turned at the end. And man, I tell you what, if you saw Dan Quinn's postgame speech on our Facebook page or Twitter page or on AtlantaFalcons.com, I mean, he says it, you don't win it early, you win it late, and gosh, I mean, this team has just proved that time and time again.
Dude, this team, the way they win, it's beyond crazy. I mean, you won in every fashion in your first five games already. Your team is already war proven. You've had the big blowouts. You've had some tight ones. You had to come from behind. I think it's 4 out of 5 games you're down in the fourth quarter and you still end up winning the ball game.
First time in NFL history that's ever happened.
And this game was no different. I mean, Washington came in, give them credit. They gave you everything they could handle. I mean, Kirk Cousins wasn't great, but he did some good things. He moved the football. And obviously, this was a game that we had a lot of ups and downs. And like you mentioned, at one point, I was like, well, you know, 4-1's not bad. You're doing pretty well, you know what I mean? And you still find a way to get it done. Even when Washington's driving in overtime, you're like, wow. I mean, it's hard to stop them right now. They're doing a good job, and all it takes is one play.
Yeah, I mean, that's really it. And this team has just continued to remind me of that. I think, you know, I've gotten a lot of questions about, especially from staff members who weren't here in 2012, when we got off to that great start. You know, what was it like? Is it similar? Is it different? And I said, you know what? In 2012, I would go into a game thinking, you know what? We could get, like, completely blown out.
Right.
Or we could completely blow out this team. Like, I go into this game or any game this year, and I'm like, you know what? It's no matter what,
we
it's
going to
be
chance.
Close,
yeah.
And we've always got a shot. Like, yeah. The level of confidence that I have in this team has just continued to grow and grow and grow, and it's beyond anything that I experienced in 2012. For the players, I can't imagine how that must be. Yeah, I mean, it must be 20 times stronger.
For me in 2012, it was, you know, it was almost pinch yourself. Is this real?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I had been here since 98. My first year moving here was the year that the Falcons go to the Super Bowl, and you have the years with Mike Vick, and it's kind of up and down, but you never really experienced – you know, that this team was just going to be great. And I know in 2 years before that, they also go 13-3. But in that one, it almost felt smoke and mirrors in 2010.
Yeah.
2012, I'm pinching myself on the field going, wow, we're 8-0. Or, you know, we're 7-0. We're 10-2. I mean, you're going through all of that. And you didn't know how good the team really was. For me, I don't think I knew how good the team really was until they beat Seattle in the NFC divisional round. And then you go, all right, this team's pretty darn good.
You were just waiting for the bubble to burst, I think, mm-hmm. in 2012. And what was funny is on paper, you had the team. You had everything in place. But you just kept winning by the skin of your teeth, right. by the ball bouncing this way or that way. You know, the thing about this Falcons team is, yeah, they've had some things go their way, make no mistake. But, man, they've really fought to get to those positions where it is just one play away from turning things around.
And I'll add to this just to on this particular point is when you think about this team and you think about where they're at now, it all starts with DQ. Yeah. And his attitude, the way he approaches everything about this organization, about this team, about how they prepare, you know, if team means every day. I mean, how they ask him to compete on every level. And since day one, he preached the things that the season has happened, you know. Mm-hmm. Being fast and physical, that's part of the game. Being able to finish, that's the most critical part of the game. And he's been teaching that since day one. Not when the situation comes about, all right, this is a new thing we're going to talk about. This has been happening since day one. And I think it's kind of helped his team progress five games in already about how what kind of identity they're going to have. Mm-hmm. And he said from day one, this is how we're going to be.
Right.
And I think nobody else on this team has strayed away. And every time I hear any guy talk, any interview, it's never about the individual effort. It's never about the individual praise. It's always redirecting to this guy, that guy. This guy did this. The coach did that. I mean, it's always that type of talk between the players. And you just got that feeling like in 2012, like, you just feel like everybody cares about each other and everybody will fight for each other on any given day.
I think you look at this team and what DQ has kind of brought to this, and I think you kind of realize the importance of buy-in from a team, you know, because he's been preaching the same thing over and over and over again, and I think the more you do that, the more it just becomes second nature. But to get the buy-in to your head coach, he's a guy you want to play for. You listen to what he says. You know he's not just blowing smoke. And I think that makes all the mental difference in the world because, you know, in a lot of people's minds, when you're sitting there 2-0, 3-0, you know, people are like, well, this team is overachieving.
Yeah.
Well, maybe because you're believing in each other. You're that part of it, I think, cannot be just overstated. I think it's one of those things in football where, you know, off the field, you're like, well, you know, is this one of those things that just seems like, you know, it's a big deal? Like we talk about offensive lines gelling all the time, right? Is that an actual thing? Or, you know, but I think buy-in to what a coach is preaching and getting that that belief in each other, I think, is something that goes a long way in football.
I had a chance to sit down with O'Brien Schofield last week, and I asked him, what's it feel like? Well, what's the difference between Seattle where you played and Atlanta? What's the biggest difference, or is there any similarities? He said everything that we did in Seattle when we went to the Super Bowl feels just like the way it is now. He's like, the team is younger, everybody plays together, we have that same feel we had there that we have now. And it's all about DQ, and I mean that just spoke volumes for me that's the same kind of atmosphere that he's creating here.
Yeah.
Not sure what size ring I wear on a ring finger, but I like what O'Brien Schofield's selling right now. I'd like to have one of those at the end of the year somewhere. A guy that is obviously playing a huge factor is the way Devontae Freeman's playing. We talked about it last week, Shock, with Tevin Coleman coming back. How would they split the carries? Well, it was pretty simple.
Yeah.
Devontae Freeman is playing at a different level than, let's be honest, any running back in the NFL so far this year. How crazy is that? Devontae Freeman is playing better than any back in the National Football League. He's earned the carries that he's getting. And in the second half of last week, I think you said it on the postgame show, in the drive that they had to take the lead, they ran the ball something like 10 out of 12 plays because Kyle Shanahan said, okay, we're going to go back to two tight ends. We're going to run the football, and Devontae Freeman's going to pick up first downs. And he did just that.
Yeah, I think there was 10 runs to one pass on that particular drive where you take the lead. And I know we got a lot of fantasy watchers out there, and Devontae Freeman is 30 points better than any other running back the last 2 weeks in fantasy. I mean, it talks about what he's about, what is he doing. And, you know, we talk every week about how he runs, with his effort, his attitude, his intensity. And, you know, one thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is he has great vision. He can see holes. He can put that foot in the ground, and he knows exactly where, you know, he wants to hit it. And then once he hit it, whoever's in front of him,
they might get the license plate number.
What was funny is that, you know, when I parked at the Georgia Dome, I parked to the point where I have to park really close to the car next to me, and I had to like really kind of squeeze my way through in order to get to the other side so I could get into the dome. I saw Devontae Freeman squeeze through a hole that was smaller than that. I'm out in the parking lot like struggling, and I may have been stuck at one point. We may have had to get the Crisco out at one point. And he's squeezing through holes that are smaller than that. I mean, just watching his vision and his reaction. I mean, he processes information so quickly, and his body just reacts to it. He's just been doing it for so long that, I mean, it's probably no surprise to him and people who have watched him over his career, but for he's been a revelation for everybody else. I mean, it's amazing watching him.
John, before you jump in, I just want to mention, I noticed he's only his third game starting and all that kind of stuff, and he's put up big numbers, but from quarter one, looks exactly the same in quarter four, the way he runs the football. You see so many backs wear down and they get tired and you need that other guy to come in for you. If you watch the tape in quarter one and quarter four, he looks the exact same runner. And that just bodes well for him. It bodes well for this team. And I think that's when Shanahan knows I can lend him. I can depend on this guy. I can lend on him if I need a couple yards or I need a hard, tough run. He is that type of player who – thing is sitting right here on his shoulder. Yeah, that little chip is just sitting there. He's got so many people that, you know, didn't think he could do it, and now he's got his opportunity, and he is feasting.
There was a moment, and John, you and I were standing right next to each other at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, and I looked at you and I said, he popped up from a hit, and you thought he was going to be down, like that he was just going to, like, kind of slowly get up. And I looked at you and I said, it's clicking for this kid.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was like that moment where you were just like,
that's it.
Oh, he's having fun out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's been like that ever since. And the way he ran last year to this year, because he got some opportunities last year, but it is just so completely different. Right. The confidence, the fun he's having. I mean, it is just all translating into this awesome game that he's putting on display.
Well, there's a lot to be said when you know you're the man and you're not going to be pulled after a play or two. And, that, you know, the confidence, the difference between last year and this year. Last year, it was Steven Jackson's team as far as at the running back position. And everybody else, whether it was Quiz or Devontae or Anton Smith, they had to fight for the table scraps. Mm-hmm. They were going to get the five or six carries. And you knew, you know, if you're Devontae, last year you'd go in the game. You might get a play.
Yeah.
Maybe you get two plays. If you miss a block or if you don't hit the hole the right way, you were back out of the game and somebody else was getting the shot. That's not the case this year. He knows when he goes in, even if Tevin Coleman's 100%, and he's going to work his way back, and Tevin will get more carries as the year goes along. I'm convinced of that. But even with that, Devontae knows, I'm going to go back in, maybe a series, maybe five plays, and I'm going to continue to get the carries, and he's running that way. Jay, it reminds me of a guy. The way he's playing right now, he's hearkening back to his days in Pop Warner, playing optimist football down in South Florida and Miami, because he is playing with fun.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, hey, the NFL is a business, and it is, but it's still a game.
Yeah.
We all grew up, or at least most of us grew up playing this game at some point, and we remember how much fun it was.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of fans refer to him as Little Warwick right now. You know, he reminds them of Warwick Dunn. And
that's a heck of a compliment.
It's a heck of a compliment. And you know, it's – I don't think – you know, we used to talk about how quick Jaquizz Rodgers was, right? A little shifty back who was able to just kind of make that move. And Devontae makes him look like a snail sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, just how fast he's able to move and react. And once he gets into open space, I mean – defenders better pray to whoever they believe in, because I mean, it is going to be impossible to stop this guy.
One of the things I saw throughout the game against Washington was we talked about Tevin having some more carries, and there were a couple of situations where they had both of them on the field at the same time.
Yep.
And I like having both those guys on the field at the same time. It adds a whole new dimension to this offense, and both guys can catch out the backfield. Both guys are elusive, and that's one more thing a defense has to prepare for, and it's another chance to get both guys on the field where they feel like, hey, there's a chance for both of us to get the ball, and there's no division between the two guys. And I just wanted to point out, I saw it. Like it. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good thing to have both guys to be able to, you know, share the backfield as well.
Well, how about this? The play that never was now, the nonsense Calvin Johnson rule that we all hate, you decide, hey, the best matchup we have, not Julio Jones, not Roddy White, not Jacob Tammy, who had a great game, we're going to split Devontae Freeman out wide and just have him basically run a quick post. And Washington got stuck because they decided to go man at that time. They get stuck with a linebacker covering him, and the guy had no shot.
Yeah.
And it's a catch, by the way. NFL changed that stupid rule. That rule is ridiculous. Rich, if you're watching, Rich McKay, president and CEO, that has to change. He catches it. The ball breaks the plane of the goal. Yeah. Everything we've ever been taught, that's a touchdown. Now, because he didn't roll, change his tires, get new shoes and everything else, it's not a catch.
There's the part of the game that you look at for Shanahan and say, all right, this is a guy being creative. You haven't seen this all game. Mm-hmm. You haven't seen this throughout the year yet, and you bring it out in the most critical moment, and it worked for you. And it's all about matchup, like you just mentioned, getting the linebacker on Devontae, but it's still about Devontae winning. He has to win on that slant route. He has to get inside, and then Matt put it on him, and he trusted him. You know, there wasn't a second guess about, should I go to Devontae on this? It was, if we got the right matchup, we're going. Devontae said, I'm going to make the play. Touchdown. That's what it should have been, you know.
Guys, I'll be honest. When we first announced Kyle Shanahan as our offensive coordinator and I started to do some research on him and how much he relies on balance, how much he relies on that running game, I was dubious that he was going to be able to make it happen, at least in year one, simply because of the reliance on the passing game for this team and under the previous regime. I mean, you were always passing the ball. And now all of a sudden you're going to run it 30, 35 times a game. I really thought, I was like, no way. At some point he's just going to have to change his offense to the weapons he has, and we're just going to be that 40 attempt team that we've been before. And it's just been, it's been really surprising.
And the great thing is he wasn't stubborn to the fact of Matt Ryan's not playing well. Julio's not getting his catches.
Yeah.
Roddy was still, you know, Hankerson was in and out with the rib. Who's going to be our next playmaker for us? And you run the football. Yeah. That's something like you just mentioned. We haven't seen around here. It just doesn't happen. You're so reliant on throwing the football, and that's how you move the football down the field. You put it in the hands of Devontae, and he takes you down the field. I mean, that type of stuff is rare around here. And to have that a part of your offense, to know – when our top guys are not on their game, we got somebody else who can, you know, pull the sled. I mean, come on.
And who do we have to thank for all this? The offensive line.
Of course.
No doubt.
We've sat here and talked about Devontae, but, man, that offensive line has looked incredible. In pass blocking and run blocking. I know Ryan Kerrigan had a couple of sacks in this game. You know, there are going to be defenses that are going to get to Matt. That's right. Just the way – that's the way –
it's the National Football League.
Well, the National Football League.
To the offensive lines – do on one of the sacks, though,
it was
he was on DeMarco.
Right.
So, you know, they found a good matchup, and he should win that. So, one of those plays is just, you know, they did a good job of scheming.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the way this offensive line has come together, and I know that when you're going into week one and you're making trades for Andy Levitre, you're picking up Gino Gradkowski off of waivers.
You know how they fit.
You're moving Mike Person to center for the first time ever.
And you're getting rid of, you know, a fan favorite like Joe Hawley. Everybody's like, what is going on?
Right.
But my God, it worked. I mean, it's working, and these guys look incredible. I think, you know, these guys deserve all the attention that they should be getting, because as much work as Devontae's doing to get his yards, I mean, those guys up front are making it happen for him.
Yeah, James Stone walks in. Mike Person obviously hurt. Dan Quinn talked about it yesterday. Probably not going to play against the New Orleans Saints. James Stone walked in. No problem. Had a couple of snaps that were coming back hot. He was firing them back there.
There were a couple,
there were a few that Matt – it's a good thing Matt's 6'4" and not 6'1". But, you know, held his own. Running game continued to click. Pass blocking was
fine. There's really nothing wrong with being 6'1". I mean, I would have called it too. So.
Well, you're an athlete. you know, I'm about 6'5", but I don't move quite as quick, at least in my eyes.
But,
I'm 6'5".
But, I mean, you look at a guy like an Andy Levitre who had 2 years in Tennessee that – just didn't fit.
Forgettable. That's
forgettable.
What they were.
You know, you ask any Titans fan, they didn't like him. He wasn't a fit for that scheme. You bring him back to a scheme that he's familiar with, that he thrives in, and all of a sudden you are running behind that spot all the time. I mean, Chris Chester, a guy who you're wondering, is his career over? How much does he have left? I mean, he looks like a 23-year-old out there. I mean, the offensive line, the way these guys have come together, is just absolutely amazing to me.
Yeah, for Chris Chester, there's always an integral part of the game. He's the only person I've seen in the National Football League that walks on the field with a cup of coffee every day.
He's
got a cup of coffee. He's just kind of, you know, so, got the gray hair going. Yeah. He just sits down, sips his coffee, kind of takes it all in.
Some guys are out there playing games, throwing catch, you know, all that stuff, and he's on the bench with a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Whatever does it for you, man.
Yeah. Whatever does. Well, one of the things is working, and we'll bounce around the defense real quick before we move on to the Falcons and Saints. Defensive line, the front seven, the question we had Shock last week, who could run the ball better would probably determine who wins this game. Alfred Morris, Matt Jones, Chris Thompson actually did a good job out of the backfield, but they couldn't run the ball to save their life on Sunday afternoon.
This was a game where you look at, okay, which defense is going to bend first? And we talked about it last week, which defense when we come back is going to say, all right, we didn't play our best game, and it was not the Falcons. I mean, you have the number one rushing unit to 51 yards on the ground. who, you know, week in and week out have shown they can run the football, got a big physical offensive line. The guy did a great job of getting penetration. That's what you like to see when you got a good rush offense. Penetration is key. Stretching it out, what do they do? Making them bounce it back inside to the linebackers. Those are keys to stopping a really good rush offense. And I go back to a couple plays by Babb where he completely just dismantles the center, gets him for a tackle for loss. Next play, he comes back, kind of read and reacts to the screen, makes a big play on the screen where they could have come up. I mean, these are the type of individual plays you're having up front by guys that really get you going. And you talk about this front seven. I mean, they play like their hair's on fire all the time. And, you know, that linebacker crew, whoever steps in there, it doesn't matter who it is, whichever guy is in there, they do their job.
Those guys in the middle are really getting the job done from a penetration standpoint mm-hmm. because, you know, Rashid Hageman is a name that you haven't heard a lot of this year, and that's because he's getting double-teamed a lot mm-hmm. in the middle, but he's getting that penetration. Paul Soliak getting penetration. Tyson Jackson getting penetration. So all of a sudden, you've got Paul Warlow coming up. You've got Schofield coming up. You've got Bierman coming up, making those big plays in the backfield. It's all coming together because of what's happening right there. And just the turnaround in this front seven, I think, is another thing that's just – it's been amazing to watch.
One other thing that I see just watching the game, just from a guy who looks at the game from a different perspective, is up front, those guys have great gap integrity. Mm-hmm. So if they are supposed to be in the A-gap, they're in the A-gap. If they're getting double-teamed, they're not getting blown off the football, that's pushing them back into the linebacker that creates more space. If a guy's supposed to hold the edge and set it, he's doing a good job of setting the edge. And this is a defensive front that understands assignment, perfect football. They understand where they're supposed to be, where they're supposed to fit. The linebackers are doing that as well. This front is playing fundamentally sound, mm-hmm. and that's what's winning games. That's what's making them a successful defense up front.
Yeah, and one of the things you mentioned, you guys said, you know, it frees it up for the linebackers. And Nate Stupar, a guy who stepped in, I'll be honest, and this is no disrespect to Nate, when I started breaking down who was going to be on the roster, he's one of the guys you look at and go, okay, he's really good special teams, kind of hit or miss, is he going to make the football team? All of a sudden now he's an integral part of your defense. He stepped in. Obviously, Justin Durant was out with the elbow injury. He played, and you didn't miss a beat. I mean, this kid is out there flat-out playing some good football. He comes off the edge on the play that Robert Alford ultimately wins the game. He hits Kirk Cousins as he's letting the ball loose. There's a reason Cousins had to throw the ball a half a tick early. And, Shock, you could speak to that. When you're a quarterback and you know it's supposed to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, stand, throw, and all of a sudden at about 3.5, you got a guy right in front of you, you got to get rid of the football.
And here's the interesting thing about that play is it's a timing route because they're running a what we call a out route, which is a seam out that we used to throw all the time, and it's 1, 2, 3, that ball's out. Mm-hmm. And he actually has to throw it before he wants to.
Right.
And he's actually coming off his back foot, he's letting it go, and that's because Stupar's getting great pressure on him. He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't, you know, he does his job. He does exactly what he's asked to do, and he breaks on the football, and, you know, we know the ending to that. But whenever a quarterback is in a position where he's not comfortable, where he feels like he has to let it go before he does, where he wants to, most time you don't feel good about it. And I'm sure Kirk Cousins felt the same way. I know he feels if he had a half a second later, he probably could see his receiver starting to slip, and he probably pulls it back. And when you have things like that happening up front, it's the small things that matter. And Stupar, like you mentioned, is a guy who's getting it done.
You know, the one thing that I think separates Nate Stupar from the rest of the group for me is his attitude and the way he approaches the game. You see a lot of players who – you know, they have all the talent. They have, you know, everything has just kind of come easy to them. I get the sense from him and watching him that he's had to work for absolutely everything mm-hmm. that he's gotten in his career. And the way he approaches football, he just has no regard for his body. He has no regard for anybody else. He's just going out there and trying to cause as much havoc as he possibly can in the snaps that he gets. And it's you saw that last year on special teams. He was one of the Falcons special teams leaders last year. Now it's translating over to defense. I mean, it's just been really amazing to watch the desire, the will, all those different things kind of come together for a guy who wasn't a top prospect.
Falcon death grip.
Jay, you are you are our social media guy. So I follow Stoop Life. What is Stoop Life?
Stoop Life, man. It's
what is Stoop Life?
It's like Thug Life, only probably a little bit more.
I thought it was more like was it Ray Schremmerd? Schrem Life. We got that as well.
Yeah. Schremmerd. So,
yeah,
Stoop Life.
Stoop Life. It's his life, and he's living it.
Now, I can tell you, he was living it after the game. I don't know if you noticed this, Jay. They always play "All I Do Is Win" when you
yeah.
win. He was down there dancing. I wish somebody had video of that. Bosek, I blame you.
Yeah.
That should have been video of the week because he was dancing.
You should come right here and just show us what he was doing.
I got a bad leg.
No, but I mean, he was dancing with fans. Just the way he approaches the game. I mean, if you don't follow him on social media, get after it.
Enjoying the moment, man.
Yeah.
He is all
That's
in the
it.
Moment.
He lives the moment, and I don't know. I just find that really inspiring.
Speaking of living the moment, the life of an NFL cornerback is one that you have to live in the moment, and you have to be able to compartmentalize and forget something immediately. Robert Alford was called for, and I'm going to say this as politically correct as I can, a questionable pass interference call that leads to the Redskins' touchdown for them to take the lead. This is a guy that very easily could have been down on himself. Get some liquid in there. Come on. Let's get you all right, man. You know, he could have very easily been down on himself. He could have been coughing and hacking up and doing all of that stuff. But he's able to step back and make a play. And I know we've spent a lot of time talking about how good Desmond Trufant is, and rightly so. Teams are just flat out afraid to throw his way. But what that's done is put Robert Alford really under the microscope because people are targeting him. And he's now the seventh-ranked corner in the National Football League by Pro Football Focus. Seventh. You know how good that is for a guy a couple of years ago that really struggled? He's no longer getting all the pass interference calls outside of the nonsense one we saw. And he comes up with a huge play, as you mentioned. Break on the ball, caught the timing, keeps himself in bounds. And as soon as he turned on those Jets, sayonara.
When I think about corners, I relate them to quarterbacks. Quarterbacks have to have short-term memory. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing for cornerbacks. Things are going to happen. Things are going to go wrong. Things are not going to go your way all the time. But it's how you respond on the next play is really how you're really measured in this league. And for him to have that huge penalty, everything's down on him. I think I saw on the sideline Marquand Manuel, who's one of the the coaches here with the Falcons, grab Alford and say, listen, you got to regroup. You got to get it back together. They're going to come at you again. You're going to get another chance. Mm-hmm. And listening to Alford talk after the game, he talked about how everybody stayed with him. Everybody kept comforting him. Everybody kept encouraging him, his teammates, his coaches. And he knew he'd have another chance at it. And that's what cornering is about. You got to be able to get rid of the things that happen bad and then move to the things that are happening good and make a play. And who knows if you're sitting back sulking or you're still thinking about that PI and they come at you again and you're not ready. Or, they beat you on a double move, something like that. If you are ready for the moment like he is, he's going to be good to go.
Yeah. What he said. I'm dying over here.
Okay. Sit back. We'll let you relax. Something that will get you fired up outside of that. Robert Alford, great job. If there was anybody that was the player of the week last week, outside of Devontae Freeman, it was Robert Alford. But this week is all about pure, unadulterated hatred.
Wow.
Because Falcons Saints is just that. And the NFL does this for a reason. There's a reason we play them typically on a Sunday night or a Thursday night or a Monday night.
Records don't matter.
They understand the rivalry. They understand the two cities don't particularly care for each other. And I'm being very nice. They don't like us. We don't like them. That's fine. They understand that this game, you do. You throw the records out. Like Georgia, Tennessee, like Miami, Florida State. I'll take two shots because both of our teams lost this weekend. You throw the records out and these two teams go after it. We'll start with this, though. You're coming off a very hard-fought, emotional victory over the Washington Redskins. And you have to turn around and play on a Thursday night.
Easy.
It's easy?
Easy.
Because it's the Saints?
Because it's the Saints. Okay. And here's why I say it's easy. Because, for one, it's the Saints. It's a division opponent who you already know pretty much. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they got some new players in certain spots that they got some new players in certain spots.
Don't mind Jay right
but,
now.
But it is the Saints.
Get the best seat in the house.
You play an opponent who you know really well. You know they're going to bring your best every time you play them. But for the most part, we talk about this short week and what entails in this short week. This week is all about mental. There's not much going on the field. There's going to be a couple walkthroughs, a couple they got to see a couple formations, see a couple things that'll work for you offensively and defensively. But this is all mental. You want to make sure you have the perfect game plan going in because, like you just mentioned, you had a tough game now. That was a really tough game, but you came out with a win. You weren't on the other side of it, so you're still feeling good about yourself.
Unlike the Saints, who got boat raced by the Philadelphia Eagles. They made Sam Bradford look like he was.
I
stole that from Tony Barnhart.
Boat raced.
Yeah, that was his phrase, boat race. They made Sam Bradford look like he was the Heisman Trophy winner again at Oklahoma. They allowed the Eagles to go up and down the field. And Chip Kelly, maybe you squash the college rumors for a week. The Saints are a team that are in disarray.
Yeah.
Marcus Colston's hurt. Drew Brees getting beat around. Their defense can't stop anybody. There's Sean Payton to whomever rumors. Pick a team that might need a coach. Sean Payton's being rumored to go there. This is a chance to bury them, Jay Adams.
And their defense is right in the spot where we were last year. You know, they're right now 32nd in the league overall, and then I think 29th in points. Given up defensively. So, I mean, the pickings are pretty good right now if you're the Falcons going in there. My thing is I just feel a little gypped because we only get a couple of days to, like, truly get into this hate week of, you know, Saints-Falcons
rivalry. You know where you won't feel gypped? Next Saturday when you're at home and you realize you have nothing to do.
I know.
And you're 6-0, baby. Yeah.
But I think, you know, there's a lot of emotion that obviously comes out of the last game. I think the challenge of playing on a Thursday night, I think maybe some people don't truly understand. So I think ever since they instituted the Thursday night games, this is the first time the Falcons have gone on the road for that. So we've always been like, okay, well, we've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Boom, those are our three practice days. We're all good, moving forward. It's a short week, but we get the work in. When you travel, completely different. So the Falcons had a walkthrough, like a 30-minute walkthrough Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are still banged up from the game, sore, tired. Mm-hmm. You're not doing a whole lot.
No doubt.
Today, Tuesday, is your combined Wednesday and Thursday practice.
Yep.
So you've got, you know, due to CBA rules, you've got a certain amount of time that you can be on the field, but you got to fit two practices worth of stuff into that day on the field. The rest of the work's got to be done off the field. And then Wednesday, you're going to come in for another practice/walkthrough.
And then travel.
And then travel in the afternoon. And then you're going to probably do another walkthrough in a ballroom at the hotel on Thursday morning.
And it's
tough. There's a lot crammed into this week.
There's a pro and a con that I'm going to talk about with this short week. One of the pros, if you're at home, like you mentioned, you talk about being able to be at home on Wednesday where you can have that practice. You don't have to worry about traveling, so you can still get your extra treatment in. Mm-hmm. You can still get more in the hot tub. You can still get more massage. But when you have on the road, you don't have all that. You got to get on a plane and fly somewhere, and so you lose a couple hours of extra treatment. And then there's the con of that where you got to make sure you're completely prepared mentally. Throughout a week, every day of the week has a specific thing that you really want to focus on. Maybe it's third down, or maybe it's, you know, your red zone or goal line or wherever it may be. And now everything, like you said, is condensed into one big day because tomorrow you're out of here.
Right.
You know, or whatever, Wednesday or Wednesday, you're out of here getting ready for Thursday. So it's one of the things that you got to be really, really careful about how you handle your body in a short week. But also, you have to be mentally prepared because it's such a small week. It's hard to get everything in.
The way I'm handling my body, I'm pounding as much Chipotle this week as humanly possible. I'm trying to eat as much of that, a couple of burritos to kind of get myself mentally prepared for going down there.
Yeah.
Shrimp po' boys on deck.
Because day after Chipotle is a battle zone. I know. But, you know.
Battle zone.
you know.
I'm just saying, don't come back.
Don't go in there for 30, 45 minutes.
At least.
don't sit next to John on the plane either.
Well, the good thing is you don't have to hear me clapping or anything on the plane this week. It'll be sit back and watch a movie.
Yeah, right. No, I know. It's good to get that kind of mini bye, you know, that the Falcons are going to have. There's obviously some injuries and guys need some rest and stuff like that.
Like you. You're going to need this.
I'm completely run down.
Can't wait for this bye.
Over-under hurricanes you're going to have down there to kind of clear the
zero. Zero.
You know what? Hurricane may be just the cure for it.
Yeah, that might get the throat feeling better.
I'm Netflix and antibiotics for
so no Netflix and chill?
Netflix and chill. Netflix
and antibiotics.
All right, Jay, I'm knocking on your door. I got to see who you're Netflix and chilling with.
Netflix and chill. Netflix chill with a side of hurricane.
Which, by the way, I know this is completely off topic, but do you see that Netflix and chill, you can like order all this stuff now? And they're setting it up now for.
Jay, like, don't act like you don't know.
What the hot Halloween costume is going to be for Netflix and chill?
Oh, I saw.
It's a Netflix shirt, and then you carry around like one of those big bags of ice. Netflix and chill.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Mike.
Well, we're off the rails now.
We are completely off.
We'll see you next week on the Falcon Cast.
I was going to say,
and we haven't even had a hurricane yet. So.
Well, speak for yourself. But as I almost knocked the mic over, Falcon Saints always. And we talk about the hate. We'll talk about some of the memories there. And I'll start with me. This will be my fifth time going to New Orleans with the Falcons, and the first 3 years, and I've gotten to, I don't want to say I'm friends with Thomas Dimitroff, but he's really cordial, come down and speak to me towards the end of the game. We'll, you know, exchange how we feel about the game. Well, every time we were down there, whether it was the first time where Drew Brees, and for me, when Drew Brees breaks the passing touchdown record against us and they kind of stick it to us at the end, then you had two games late that you lose. One of them, you stop the Falcons from being undefeated. The next one, Steven Jackson doesn't come up with a catch. I just can remember standing there next to Thomas Dimitroff and him having that look of ultimate anguish. Like, I can't believe we continue to lose in this building. To flip that to last year, when Robert McClain comes up with a pick that basically seals it for Atlanta, and to see all those people in the Superdome with about 8 minutes left going home. And I looked at Thomas Dimitroff, and you could just see the pure elation. Mind you, we were a 6-win team after that game, but to beat that team on the road, it just lets you know in this organization how much it means.
You have to beat the Saints. I mean, that's
period.
Just what it is. You have to beat the Saints. And I think this is – it's different for this team, maybe because we are in such a college football atmosphere that you develop those rivalries. You know, mm-hmm. Your Alabama Auburns and your, you know, whatever it is. I don't know what college football is. So so you develop these rivalries.
Just mad Alabama Auburn was the first one you thought about. That's pretty ridiculous.
I know. Miami and Florida State had a huge game last week.
Whatever. I don't know. So you have these rivalries. You have to beat your rival. That's mm-hmm. that's the mentality of the fan base. I think that's the mentality of this Falcons fan base. You have to beat the Saints. And you know, the last couple of years, you know, ever since Sean Payton came in, you know, he's had the Falcons number a bunch of times. I think this year, you know, you really kind of have a chance to kind of set a brand new standard for this rivalry. And that's what's so fun about it is, like, this rivalry changes so much that it's a lot of fun to watch it morph and evolve. I mean, my first year with the Falcons, 2010, we go down there. I think it was like week three, and nobody gave us a shot to win that game. And we take it into overtime. They miss a field goal to win it, and Matt Bryant nails the field goal. And I'm down on the sideline, and the whole place just erupts, like on our sideline. It just – there is nothing that makes me happier than a quiet Superdome.
Yeah, you're not the only one. To see those people quiet, and, you know, there's actually, and I say this with all due, there's a lot of really nice folks in New Orleans.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of folks that can't stand if you wear red and black at all.
Yeah.
So, we wish them the best until the game kicks off on Thursday night, and then we hope to win by about 20 points. Do we stay undefeated?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jay?
Oh, yeah.
Six
no doubt
them.
About it. No doubt about
it. Oh, yeah.
Also, just to add to that, the rivalry, I think you mentioned something good, is how it's morphed into, you know, such a back and forth. And I think now you're in a position where you can put your foot on the Saints' throat.
Yes.
And really take heed of this rivalry and say, hey, we own this now. All right. You know, it's a rivalry, yes, but we're going to dominate it. And I think you're in a position now where you can do that. This team and the Saints are backs against the wall. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of things are going wrong for them. Like you mentioned, coaches, you know, thinking about going all different kind of places. You got so many guys hurt. Drew Brees is not the same Drew Brees as he once was. I mean, he's still a great player, but you got a chance to really solidify this this rivalry by really just sticking it to them.
I thought last year was the passing in the wind, so to speak, of the two franchises. The Saints are on the decline. I don't think anybody would argue that. Last year was kind of their first year of no longer really being relevant at all, not really in the division race. Granted, everybody was in the NFC South division race, but you could see them on the decline. This year, you continue to see that. They're in salary cap problems. You lose your best player in Jimmy Graham. You trade him away. Drew Brees is not the same guy as he was 5 years ago. None of us are. And the Falcons are now on the ascent. And I thought last year was sort of the passing when you sweep them. And now all of a sudden you're the better team. There's no doubt. I think everybody anticipates a win. But I'll caution Falcon fans. This is one of those weeks that because you're playing the Saints, they want nothing more than to knock you from the perch of undefeated. Mm-hmm. Falcons
they
are going to
have
to
be that team.
They do. They
just like you said, coming in a couple years ago, no way the Falcons are supposed to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you win. That's kind of stuff makes your season.
That, you know, you look at this Saints team on paper, and it's not the same Saints team at all. But there's still pride in that locker room,
yeah.
And they want to beat this team. I know the fan base there, they're going to show up because they always do, and they're going to be loud. And that place is going to be crazy. But, I mean, that's the thing is that this game is one of those that can get in your head, I think, as a, I guess you could comment more as a player and then as a coach, but you've got so many new faces here on the Falcons side of things that you almost kind of take that out of the equation, you know?
Yeah, it's a totally different feel for this game. This is the most confidence I've ever had getting ready to take a trip to New Orleans.
Absolutely.
Bosak, this is your first trip to Nollins. You get a chance to go down there. Lucky for you, we will not be staying right by Bourbon Street. So, lucky for you. But it's time to break with Bosak.
You can always find it, Bo. You can always find Bourbon.
Uber.
It's a ride. All right. First time there for me, so I have no New Orleans stories. But for you guys, what's your craziest New Orleans stories you have visiting? New Orleans.
I'm trying to think which ones I could say that are saved for the many. Falcons website.
Because I don't really have many to say. I actually went to New Orleans for my 30th birthday and just hung out and all kind of stuff. And there were a couple of things walking along Bourbon that, you know, can't really say on air right now. But it's definitely a good time.
I will just say, if you do go to Bourbon, stay on Bourbon Street. Because
no doubt.
Anything a block or two away tends to get sketchy. I guess my craziest one that's safe, I guess my first or second year down there, I was doing some TV for CBS 46. And, you know, they give you the mic, and it's got a mic flag that says it's got the Falcons logo on one side and CBS 46. And they've got basically at the Superdome over in the corner, you'll see where ESPN and all those people. And that's where you're told to do your stand-up shots. Camera guys standing there. And it's 2.5 hours before the game, 2 hours before the game, whatever it may be. And I've got Saints fans screaming every obscenity to me humanly possible. You piece of this. Get the blank off my field. And I'm sitting there like, dude, are they talking to me? Oh, yeah, we're talking to you, bald guy. Hey, fat guy. And I was like, really? So afterwards, I'm like, dude, I'm trying to do a news thing. Can you let me be there? You're not doing that to Steve Young, who's five steps down from me. No, we like him. So, yeah, those fans, when I say they despise us, they despise us.
They do. I have no New Orleans stories that are safe for this platform.
None.
I don't. I've got New Orleans stories.
Sure, we all do.
Plenty. None that are safe for this audience.
I'm with you.
I'm just going to say...
Bosak, you know, hey, you go to New Orleans this week and you get a New Orleans story, you got to make sure it's clean.
I will say this, and this one's somewhat safe. I'm a huge fan of the show Bar Rescue. John Taffer, that guy's awesome. They had an episode on Bourbon Street. Mm. So Bo Morgan and I, executive producer of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, we said, dude, we got to go to this place because they sell these specialty cups that are like a skull that flash in different cups. I mean, it's, you know,
I need that.
So unfortunately, it's not right one now. Of the places that's real close when you walk onto Bourbon Street. So about 2 miles down Bourbon Street, we find the place. We did buy the cups, and then everybody the rest of the night was, oh, where'd you get those cups?
The good thing about Bourbon, once you get to walking, though, you don't even realize you're just walking.
The problem is walking back, you realize.
Yes.
Walking down there, you feel great. Oh, this is awesome. Next thing you know, you're in Metairie.
You guys have to introduce Bosak to New Orleans.
I'll leave that for some of the younger folks.
Yeah, I'm I'll send him to the – there's this this great place, metal bar that I love to go to whenever I'm there. It's called The Dungeon, right off of Bourbon. Beautiful place.
I thought you were going to suggest Chuck E. Cheese's or something.
I will suggest, though, gumbo, fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Any type of the po' boys, fantastic.
Eating is just something you just don't even talk about because it's a must.
If you get a chance to go to Acme Oyster Bar. And
I've been there.
Grilled garlic butter oysters.
You can't miss it either. Big Acme sign.
Yeah. And there'll be a line from here to, like, Slidell.
Yeah,
slide out. Yeah,
you're going to be in line for a while. Yeah. All right, Bosek, what do we have for the video of the week today? Because, by the way, you've got a tough time topping last week's video. Did you see the video he had last week?
It was on ESPN and everything.
Yeah,
I saw.
It was kids playing football, and like they're literally lining up to make a play, and they're doing the whip and the nay-nay.
That was adorable.
That's maybe the best video of all time. It's on my Twitter page, at JohnMichaels929.
There you go.
Politically correct Twitter page, by the way. What do you got, Bosek?
So, yeah, this past week before the game on Sunday, on Falcons Landing, we have knockerball. It's like the game of soccer you play with, like, big bubbles around you.
Knockerball?
Yeah. Knockerball.
DJ, it's fun. You should check it out. It's good.
Knockerball.
Pretty good. Yeah, knockerball.
So that's like it's soccer, but with a twist.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that's what it's called.
It leads to the video of the week.
All right, let's see this.
Let's watch this knockerball.
No, this one's not knockerball.
Oh.
This is life-size foosball.
Oh,
that's man. Awesome.
So this is something, nothing crazy, but...
Life-size foosball.
I want this.
That's got to be in, like, Kansas or, like...
I don't know. Who would think of this?
I don't know.
Look at the people in the video. That's who would think of it.
Okay, but look at the wood workings here and how much
this is well thought out,
right? Effort went into this. See, now this is the kind of sport that guys like me and John can play. We stand there and just kick.
Kick, yeah.
We move maybe side to side.
I'd still tear something.
See, that's me there in the gray cutoff. That's me in the
with
in
your
the
glasses,
Crocs.
With your glasses,
he's
there.
Got Crocs on. He's playing. He's trying
I think
to
he's
get
barefoot.
His Croc.
He's got one Croc on.
Yeah, he's got one
Croc on.
He's got one Croc.
Oh, and they're actually doing it.
Oh, I'm not getting that.
Yeah, who's going to get it?
They're actually doing it the right way because they're not turning. They're actually doing like football.
Yeah.
They're facing
yeah.
the right way. That's pretty awesome.
That's really cool.
Where do you find this stuff?
Like
by the way,
mostly where do you find that?
I don't know where.
The internet's a wonderful.
Yeah, the internet.
It is.
Somewhere on the internet.
It is.
The interweb.
But let's go back to knockerball because...
yeah, I'm intrigued by this knockerball.
You went up to Falcons Landing where they have knockerball.
Yep.
So if you're a Falcons fan and you come to a game, go up to Falcons Landing, you can play knockerball. You played a little knockerball and our social media intern, Emily... knocked you on your butt.
No! Bosek!
This was...
It was on our Snapchat.
It was
account.
Ashley. She
oh, okay.
took the Snapchat.
So yeah, I think Ashley's more of an athlete
this.
Than
the
you.
Whole, explain this.
The whole 10 minutes before that Snapchat went out, I kept knocking Ashley over. So I was like, oh, she's Snapchatting right now. I should fall over for the camera.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Is that what you're
Trevor
sticking to?
Okay. Ladies, man.
Trevor, that's what he's sticking to.
Mm-hmm. I was being mean, too. I was like knocking some kids
I don't
over.
Know, man. Rose is an athletic person.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think if you two do a combine, she beat you.
Yeah,
she would.
She's going to be faster in the 40. She's going to out bench press you.
There we
and
go.
And then she's walking in right.
As soon as we tell her about knocker ball, she walks in.
She's like, yeah, I got both.
Shaking her head, yeah.
Yep.
I'm a Snapchat.
All right, last week's picks to click, we didn't really click.
No.
But we do have to come up with a winner, so thanks to Pro Football Focus.
Thanks for Jay not even being here. Yeah. That's why he won. So, hey.
See, I was going to pick.
I wasn't even here and I won.
I was going to pick like Matt Bosher for you or somebody.
No, we actually were going to pick Josh Harris. That's who your pick was going to be.
Josh had a great game.
Yeah.
So right now, DJ and Jay, as I said, I'm going to let them win. Get out in front.
I don't think you let anybody do anything.
I did. Bosek, we're going to let you go first from now on until you actually win.
Woof.
Because you are struggling. Last week, Jay, by the way, won with Paul Warlow. 7 tackles. Pro Football Focus, the only positive grade of the guys we picked. DJ had Vic Beasley. I had Desmond Trufant. And
Jay, did you
Bosek
hear what we did?
Leonard Hankerson.
Because, obviously, Devontae Freeman was going to be
off limits.
He's off limits.
Okay. He's now Julio'd and Matt.
Now it's tough. It's tough. You're getting rid of three
guys.
That's
good. It's good because you get the whole roster on that side of things, and then we're down to, like, you know, I don't know, Levine Toilolo. So.
Yeah. Bosek, you get to go first. Levine is all yours.
So my pick this week is Levine Toilolo.
There you go.
No, I'm going to go with, actually, Jacob Tammy. Sorry.
Oh, nice.
He had a couple catches last week, huh?
Yeah. That's a good pick.
There you go.
I like Tammy. Tammy's cool. Who's next?
We'll just go around the room.
Around the room?
Go ahead, Shock.
All right. I'm going to go with – I'm going to stick with my man. My man, he's bound to break through.
Roddy.
You know it.
Uh-huh.
My man going to break through, and he going to break through in New Orleans. I'm going with 8-4.
He had a big catch. He had a huge catch.
Yes.
On Sunday. And he
two
got,
big, huge catches.
He got walloped when he caught that ball down by inside the 10. He got hammered.
8-4, do some work for your boy.
All right. Jay?
There you go. I'm going to go with this week's hero. I'm going with Robert Alford. I know Drew Brees is a tough guy to pick off, but I could see Robert Alford making it happen again.
He did. He got a couple gifts. He got a gift left, but he got just handed it to Alford. Here you go.
Oh, yeah.
Pierre Garçon.
Yep.
This game tends to be a shootout. I know the Falcons' defense has played well, but it tends to be a shootout. That means somebody on the offensive side has to have a big game.
Uh-huh.
We could have used him on Saturday in Tallahassee.
Whoa.
I'm going with Hank time.
Hank
Big Bank Hank.
There you go.
We're going to take Leonard Hankerson.
You got him this week.
I'll take him this week.
Ha! He said you could have him after
that
one
catch.
He's been
bad week, good week, bad week, good week. After so one I catch. Figure this week should be good week.
You think he was just a little excited because he's playing his former team. That's what it was.
I hope he's healthy for you.
If he's not healthy, you can't pick another guy. You got to stick with him.
I'm fine. I trust in Hank.
Okay. Trust
we
in
had
Hank.
It a couple of years ago where somebody, like Daniel Cox, I think, picked somebody who didn't end up playing. He was ruled out.
I'm going to take Mike Person. That's what we're going to do
right now. There you go.
See how he is. So, once again, Bosak has
Jacob
Tammy, Roddy White,
Robert
Alford. Leonard Hankerson. There we go.
There we go.
Sounds like a winner for me.
Off to New Orleans.
Off to New
it's
Orleans.
It's New Orleans time. Bosak, 3 hurricanes an hour is
we
your
were
goal.
2 for 2 last week.
We both hit it.
Both hit it at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. Both. Pressure's on.
Boom.
Threw a slider.
Boom.
Ah.
Oh, got her. Oh, the baby.